Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week, we are going to take a look at the Opera Cup brackets. And of course, Fusion Alpha Episode 2 aired tonight. And by tonight, I mean, of course, 2 days ago by the time this podcast drops. But before we get into all that good stuff, let's hit up some brief news coming out of Fightland. First things first, it looks like Cesar Duran will be there at Fightland on October 7th. He is promising consequences for certain members of the MLW roster. What does this mean? Who knows? But knowing that man and his history, it could either be opportunities or punishment. So, let's get the popcorn out. Hopefully, someone can get sacrificed. At least that is my hope. Meanwhile, Cesar has also signed for Fightland. Los Parks taking on 5150. I didn't see whether this was for the MLW Tag Team Championship or not, as Los Parks are the MLW Tag Team Champions. I mean, in kayfabe, I'm hoping not, because what has 5150 done so far? As far as I know, nothing. They just, like, showed up one day and with Conan and declared themselves number one contender and then got mouthy with other tag teams and showed up at the Battle Riot match in a 2-for-1 gig. But, you know, I guess that could translate to number one contendership. I don't know. I'm not Cesar Duran. I am not a matchmaker. I'm just, you know, guy that complains about wrestling in his mother's basement. So, I mean, that being said, I don't expect a solid match out of it. I had no complaints on that front. I just getting real salty about the concept of the potential number one contendership being in line for this match. But, you know, never mind that. More importantly, we got the Opera Cup brackets. So let's take a look at that, shall we? Let me get my chalkboard out, run my fingers across it, and go, Alright, looks like for the first round of the Opera Cup, starting at the Fightland TV tapings, we have TJP taking on Alex Shelley, Bobby Fish taking on Lee Moriarty, Matt Cross taking on Calvin Tankman, and Filthy Tom Lawler, last year's Opera Cup winner, taking on Davey Richards. Now, this is a very solid lineup, I have to say, and it really kind of throws me for a loop in terms of possibly predicting things. But you know what? As an online spectator and expert, armchair booker even, let's just go ahead and get the thread out and see if we can break some brackets on here. Note that I am terrible when it comes to the NCAA stuff, and that's a much larger field, so I kind of hope I have some better luck here, even though I note that like I have no bloody clue where this is going. So, anyway, I'm also going to get my pen out, and maybe I can mark these as I go along. Maybe I can keep track of these things. I don't know. Anywho, here are my picks for the first round, in no particular order, or at least this is actually the order that I have them written down, anyway. So, TJP versus Alex Shelley. I expect this to be a clinic, like an absolute clinic, but unfortunately, I also expect TJP to go over. Even though I would love to see Shelley get a good run with the company, I just think this is kind of a one-off dealio, and as such, TJP is going to move on to round two. Next, we have Bobby Fish and Lee Moriarty. Lee Moriarty is one of the guys that come up through the MLW draft. And Bobby Fish was just announced as like a big signee popping up at Fightland. As awesome as it would seem for Moriarty to kind of get the Duke here, I also see like Fish, like this is going to be Moriarty kind of establishing himself, but Fish getting the big win off that. So though in my gut says Moriarty's going to get it, but I just can't follow through on that. That's where my bracket will get busted and Lee Moriarty wins the entire bloody thing. But I'm going to say Bobby Fish goes on to round two. Next match, Matt Cross versus Calvin Tankman. And this is a match to establish Calvin Tankman. Arguably probably the biggest match in MLW outside of his match for the World Heavyweight Championship with Jacob Fatu. Ironically, speaking of Fatu, Cross will get a title match next week against Fatu, so we'll see how that goes. I imagine Fatu will win since they're really hyping up the Fightland TV special on October 7th. That also being said, Tankman is kind of your dude for the future, and I don't see him going out in the first round of this tournament. So in a banger of a match and a mishmash of styles, I do see Calvin Tankman going over. And your final first round match, Tom Lawlor versus Davey Richards. And I'm going to throw this out, and I'll probably mention later on the episode, that I love Tom Lawlor. Like, he just kind of gets the showmanship down, and, you know, he can legit, like, rip your legs off. That being said, I do kind of think his days in MLW may be numbered. And they might be kind of phasing him on to do other things. And by they him doing other things, I mean focusing on his work with New Japan and whatnot. So I don't think he's just going to be, I don't think he's going to be in the prominent position as he once was in the company, despite, like, tonight getting his shot at the National Openweight Championship. But I see him being used to establish Davey Richards. Despite winning it last year, I feel like that Lawler's going to go home in the first round. So, you know, from first to worst, if you will. So those are my picks in the first round. I probably should have looked to see where those brackets are before I made these picks, so I could, like, so I don't, you know, accidentally put, like, two rookies in the next round, even though actually, like, everybody in this tournament is pretty well established. And the one, like, the one who's not, I had going out in the first round anyway. So to recap, I see TJP winning, Bobby Fish winning, Calvin Tankman, and Davey Richards all moving on to the second round as well. Will it work out like this? I don't know, but it's fun to speculate. And, like, as I said, like I've said repeatedly, this Opera Cup bracket, like, you can make arguments for pretty much every single person in this tournament to win it. And, you know, I could argue that some are bigger favorites than others, but still, like, there really isn't going to be an upset. Like, the closest thing to an upset, and no offense to Mr. Moriarty, he's a top prospect in his own right. Just with all the names already involved with this tournament, like, he is the dark horse. And he's the kind of the guy who has the most to prove out of this thing as well. But I still don't have, like, a solid finalist, though I could see them giving it to Tankman because, again, like, you should give it to the homegrown boy. And I think Tankman would benefit the most from the victory. But I don't know, we're just winging it right now. So those are your first rounds. We'll pick this up later on and just make things up. Maybe I'll pay attention and, like, reference these later and gloat if I'm doing well, or just never mention it again if I do terribly, because, I mean, that's probably going to be the more likely scenario, because brackets aren't my specialty, and I'm a guy who picks, like, all the weird underdogs anyway traditionally, so I don't know. But more importantly, people should give me money. And you know what? There are people who do give me money. And so let's just take a brief pause for the cause and let those, you know, ads of varying quality pop up so I can make a couple of ducats that way. I'll check you out in a moment.
Now, whether you're someone who works out or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com, and while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS, that's C-A-S-S, at checkout for 15% off your order.
All right, we are back, and we're ready to dive into Fusion Alpha Episode 2. Looks like our opening contest is going to be Ares versus Aramis. Ares is already wandering down in the ring, but we get interrupted by the Contra promo stylings of Mads Krugar. He notes that tonight it is going to be his job to put a stop to Hammerstone before Hammer can get his hands on Jacob Fatu at Fightland. I will say this is probably the cleanest promo ever done by Mads Kruger. And I don't want to say his promos are bad by any stretch of the imagination, because you can't understand them, but usually his voice is so distorted, so distorted, that you really just kind of get on this thing and I talk like this and I yell at Lucy. Oh, that's going to keep some listeners that hum. Anyway, you know, this is not like this podcast is known for its, you know, quality anyway. But we get the Kruger promo. Hammer is getting stopped tonight. But meanwhile, we got ourselves some good lucha things going on. The match starts off pretty darn hot, and I'm very impressed by it. We have the King of Strange Style versus Conan's next Rey Mysterio. And they show off doing what I'm calling lucha catch. It's like catch wrestling styles done well with the panache of lucha. For those of you who are not familiar with catch, we'll sit down for the learning tree for a moment. And it's a lot, it's a British styling traditionally, but it's done as almost like wrestling as chess. Like the point of it is to get an advantage using holds traditionally and just one up your opponent using, you know, the holds and transitioning from one hold to the next. So it's almost like the JRPG also of wrestling, where you just kind of take turns, you know, exchanging these holds, and whoever can get the hold in best usually ends up winning it. But now we have to get the flair of lucha and the fluidity of lucha, where his catch, yeah, I mean, it could be very fluid, but it also is very start-stop, whereas Ares and Aramis are floating through doing various forms of head scissors in addition to it, like really just kind of ending with like a double arm drag attempt that looked rather interesting as well. But that was fun to watch. But in the end, Ares gets the advantage, goes outside, hits a second rope moonsault to kind of start his thing. But the advantage doesn't last terribly long. We have a kickoff. Everyone's just kicking in any way they know how, whether it's a super kick, enziguri, front kicks, etc., etc., etc. Ares does get the better of it in the end, though, and hits a big buckle bomb. And, like, the buckle bomb is so high that Aramis falls over the top rope to the floor. But back inside, Aramis hits a bicycle kick and a suplex and a tope, and then goes outside to a tope suicida. Also does a nifty tightrope somersault plancha to the floor. Of course, this advantage only works outside the ring. Inside, Ares hits a Michinoku driver number 2 for a 2 count. For those of you also not in the know, that is the what we in America would just call the Michinoku driver, but it's actually variation number 2. Michinoku driver number 1 is just a brain buster. Anyway, I digress. Ares hits a nifty leg hook half Nelson driver just for 1. It just kicks out right away. Goes up top for a shooting star press, misses it. Aramis hits a spinning rack powerbomb for the 1-2-3. Aramis is your winner in this lucha showcase. And is like spotty as it was at various times, it was a lot of fun to watch. Just especially the opening part of it where we got like the lucha chest, the lucha catch, like was very interesting, and I'm not sure I've ever seen anything quite like it. I mean, don't get me wrong, like my history of lucha is vague at times, but like this just kind of blew me away briefly. I mean, I do enjoy catch, I do enjoy lucha, and you just put them together and now we have this magical Reese's Pieces in the ring. I guess it's a Reese's peanut butter cup, but you know, hopefully you get my metaphor. But yeah, it worked out rather well, and I was impressed by this match, and like unofficially the first singles matches between these two. Anyway, moving on to go along with it, the crowd was doubly impressed, and they throw money. The crowd is throwing money into the ring, which is traditional in old school lucha, was to throw money in the ring for the competitors. We get that. The two competitors also respect each other. We get a handshake hug thing going on. Like, everyone just loves everyone. Everything is wonderful. Except for Jacob Fatu, who gets his own hype package. And I guess technically he's wonderful too, because he well, you know, is the MLW World Heavyweight Champion. So we get to see lots of him doing his fancy moonsaults and whatnot. We cut to backstage. Cesar Duran is talking to someone on the phone. He is interrupted by M-Dog 20, Matt Cross. Cross wants the title. Cesar finally gives in and gives him a title match next week. So next week we'll see Matt Cross taking on Jacob Fatu for the MLW World Heavyweight Championship. Also going on in the Fightland area, or at least tapings, we will see the Featherweight Division, which is their fancy term for the women's division. Ashley Vokes will be taking on Willow Nightingale next week. Should be a solid match. I'm a fan of both of these competitors, so it should be fun and a great introduction to the new MLW women's division. We come back. Inside the ring, we have Bud Heavy, who is a very heavy dude. I'm not sure if he's my bud yet. I've never actually talked to him, but he's at least half right. He will be taking on the Suplex Assassin, Alex Kane, coming to the ring with King Mo. Kane starts off hot with a corner splash and shoulder tackles and just kind of just beats the snot out of Mr. Heavy. We get a crash landing suplex for a two count, but Kane just picks him up to stop the count. King Mo is keeping a suplex count outside the ring. We get a T-bone suplex. Mo has a card that says two suplexes, so we got some Sesame Street action outside the ring. But there's not a whole lot more action. We have a ripcord Olympic slam for the 1-2-3. Your suplex assassin is the winner. As Kane, though, is leaving the ring with King Mo, Mr. Heavy is defiant, giving Kane the double birds. So Kane has to come back and give Mr. Heavy what for with a T-bone, a German suplex, and an Olympic slam to boot. Following this, we go backstage with Alicia Toot. She is with EJ and Duca, who is... well, I guess it's not really fresh off anymore, but had a great appearance at the Battle Riot, eliminating like 12 guys. And Nduka is noted that he is showing up and showing out and evidently just having fun, Maggle. Following this, we get a 5150 promo video. They're talking about injustice, being street certified, each get their own little chance to talk about the Latino population being held down and chained. And yeah, and then we also, you know, I can't think of his name. Julius Smokes, there we go. We're keeping that in because I don't know any better. And then of course there's just Julius Smokes being Julius Smokes, which at a certain level is the most entertaining part of the act, even though, you know, all these guys can talk and act like they are LAX, which they were originally introduced as. We get a brief Fightland Control Center update. It is on October 7th on Vice TV. We are going to see Jacob Fatu take on Alexander Hammerstone. Also get to see Myron Reed taking on Tajiri, Eris, and Aramis in a match for the MLW Middleweight Championship. Following this, we get a brief video noting that Bobby Fish and his kicks are coming soon. We get a replay of the Alex Kane match. We get word that Cesar Duran is giving the first alternate position in the Opera Cup to Alex Kane because he's so impressed with Kane's killer instinct. So if anyone gets injured over the course of the Opera Cup and needs replaced, Kane will be the first person called to come in. So we'll see how that goes, if that's any sort of foreshadowing or if that's just whatever happens to be, guess, meh. All right, it is time for your main event of the evening. Filthy Tom Lawler taking on Alexander Hammerstone for the MLW National Openweight Championship. Lawler is filled with shtick tonight. Very entertaining. I do love me some Tom Lawler, especially the whole concept of coming to the ring in Daisy Dukes, taking off the Daisy Dukes to reveal another, you know, set of tights that are, you know, printed like they're Daisy Dukes. Hammer, though, is all of the Hogan 91 tan, so he is ready to go. Unfortunately, stopped fairly quick, at least initially, by Tom Lawler getting a single leg takedown, but the other kicks are nowhere near as effective. When Alex tries to get some holds Lockton of his own. Tom makes it to the ropes, and, you know, Hammerstone is not terribly fazed by that. Big shoulder tackle takes Tom outside the ring. As Lawler tries to get back in the ring, he gets a hold of Hammerstone's arm and drapes it over the top rope. This will kind of start the theme of Lawler working over Hammer's left arm over the course of the match. Tom does get knocked back outside. We brawl around the ring for a bit with Hammer dropping Tom on the ring apron, which of course is the hardest part of the ring. Inside the ring, Tom gets an eye rake and an armbar takedown, slowing things down, stopping the momentum for your boy Hammer. Lawler gets Hammer stuck in the corner and is just standing on his throat. Hammer, though, being the master of Muscle Mountain, just somehow, from the laying down prone position, dumps Tom over the top rope to the arena floor. We get a bit more brawling outside when Lawler slams Hammer's arm into the ring post, doing some major damage over there. Inside the ring, of course, Tom continues to work over the arm, hits, cross arm breaker, but Hammer gets to the ropes. Tom counters an offensive attempt into a guillotine choke and then locks into the crossface. Hammer, though, hammers up, hits a swinging Uranagi, but he can't quite get the Nightmare Pendulum hooked in. That arm's still kind of bothering him. Lawler takes a brief pause to call for someone. Not sure who it is because no one shows up, so whether it's Team Filthy and they refused, or if he had some deal going on with Contra, who knows, because nothing happened. So, poor guy. Especially double poor guy, because he gets a big power bomb for two. Since that wasn't as effective enough, Hammer gets him up for the Nightmare Pendulum for the 1-2-3. Your boy Hammer retains the National Openweight Championship, keeping the sanctity of next week's main event between him and Fatu, title for title, open and ready to go. Backstage, Alicia Toot is getting ready to meet Hammer in the entryway when a wild pack of Contra attack. Contra unit appear en masse and beat down Hammer as the show fades to black. And I must say, I was thoroughly entertained by this show. Of course, the opening Lucha match was great, with the Lucha Catch thing going on, and then just a nice contrast and story told in the main event between Hammer and Tom Lawler, and of course, Lawler and Hammer, two of my favorite guys on the MLW roster right now anyway, because both have personality for days and can go in the ring as well. And then, of course, we have our nifty cliffhanger ending to tide us over until next week. See where things are going with the Contra-Hammerstone feud. I mean, for all we know, Hammer could be injured. I don't know. Like, there was like four or five guys backstage just thwalloping away on him and, you know, beating him down while Alicia screamed. So, I don't know, our main event could be in jeopardy. But the only way we're going to find out is by continuing to watch the show. So, of course, obviously, I'm going to watch next week's show. And speaking of watching shows, actually, it has nothing to do with watching shows, because this is an audio-only podcast. Show's over. I do want to thank everyone for listening and playing along with me as I, you know, go through my weird version of bracketology. Stay tuned, catch the plugs, you know, do what the plugs say. I do appreciate it. And in the meanwhile, I will see you all next week. Thank you for listening to MLW Confusion. MLW Confusion is written and narrated by Rob Kammer, but is not affiliated with Major League Wrestling. The opening theme is written and performed by Rob Kammer, and what you are listening to right now is Ruined My Day by Alan L. Schroeder. If you enjoyed the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Also, be sure to tell your friends, family, and enemies about the show. Word of mouth is very important to us small businesses. You can also get up to date with the thoughts and ramblings at the social media at the links in the description. If you'd like to support monetarily and help out, and to upgrade our equipment too, by the way, you can in the following ways. First, our virtual tip jar is at www.kofi.com/Casanova. That is CASSONOVA. Or, for more bang for your buck, join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/Casanova. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to MLW Confusion early and ad-free, plus get weekly exclusive goodies. So be like the OGs, Maverick 45 and Alan Schroeder, and check that out. Also, for your energy, sleep, and workout needs, check out repsports.com and use the coupon code CASS at checkout to get 15% off your order.